Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday morning. It's June 27, 2024. Great to be with you here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Coming up on the program today, of course, it is a Thursday, which means we check in with the one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN for our cultural connections. And he wants to talk about the elections, not so much with the debate in mind, which of course is tonight in Atlanta, but looking at the importance of local elections and also the crime issues that are plaguing our country. We'll get his take on that, as well as his thoughts on the upcoming debate. And then we'll wrap up a busy Thursday morning with a beautiful new film. It's entitled Sound of Hope, The Story of Possum Trot. We're actually going to be interviewing Rebecca Weigel. She's a producer and writer of the film. And it is based on a powerful true story of a family, a Christian family from Texas, as they ignite the fires in a rural church, embracing children in the foster care system, kids that no one else would take. They adopted 77 children in their East Texas community, and they will talk about the impact that that has, and Rebecca will give us the story, and of course you can check out the film. We'll give you all the links and whatnot. You can go to angel.com, Angel Movies. So that is our show for a Thursday morning, June 27th. I do want to mention that last night on EWTN Live with Father Mitch Pacwa, again, who's joining us at 15 minutes past the hour, as he always does on Thursday. Father Mitch did such a great job of doing an entire hour on the life and legacy of our dear friend and co-founder of Ave Maria Radio, Al Cresta. Beautifully done. I joined by Skype, Dr. Ray joined by cell phone, and we also had Doug Keck, our chief operating officer and president. We had Tom Price, our head of programming at EWTN Radio. And we also had our own Mike Jones from Ave Maria Radio, who is the VP and CEO. And it was really neat, as I was telling my listeners the first hour of Catholic Connection this morning, the different perspectives of people and how they met Al and how they worked with him and the impact that they had, and speaking with listeners or speaking with other people who worked at Ave or EWTN. It was, I thought, a really, really interesting roundtable discussion and really touching, because there were so many cool picks from the early days of Ave Maria Radio, as well as picks with, of course, Nick Tom, his executive producer for years, an amazingly sharp young man, a graduate of Steubenville who passed away of brain cancer a few years ago. That was heartbreaking for me to see those. It was uplifting but heartbreaking at the same time, because Nick was such a special person as well. I thought it was really well done. So kudos to the EWTN Wednesday Live team, Jason Annington, of course, Freddie, who was directing back in the studio, Father Mitch and the whole team putting it together, and Peter Gagnon, thank you for inviting me on. I really appreciate that. It was a great show. So you can always go to the archives or EWTN to take a look at it, and it's on YouTube and also streaming elsewhere. And that would be, of course, EWTN Live on Wednesdays with Father Mitch Pacwa, the show last night. So again, Father Mitch is joining us right after the break and after the news, and then Rebecca Weigel, producer and writer of the new film, Sound of Hope, The Story of Possum Trot. Beautiful story, a real story about how sacrifice can make a difference. All right, so what's the weather? Well, believe it or not, more rain. Severe thunderstorms capable of very large hail and damaging wind gusts around 80 miles per hour forecast across portions of the central and northern plains. That's for today as well as into this evening. And they also say that locally heavy rainfall may result in isolated instances of flash flooding, and monsoon-like conditions are persisting for the Four Corners region, where additional flooding is possible through this evening. So that's an update on the weather and a rundown, as we say in the biz. Lots of news to get through, already 4 minutes past the hour. Also, some big news out of the Supreme Court and another leak. Yep, let's get started. Mark Mayfield tells us the Supreme Court may be on course to allow emergency abortions based on a document supposedly accidentally posted online.
That's according to Bloomberg, which obtained the document relating to a pending Idaho abortion case. The document reportedly shows that the court will allow emergency room doctors in Idaho to perform abortions. The High Court is likely to dismiss the appeal that was brought by Idaho officials. A Supreme Court spokeswoman confirmed a document was inadvertently uploaded, but said the ruling has not been released. It could be part of a group of decisions meant to be officially released this week.
The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, USCCB, as Catholic News Agency tells us in a report this morning, laying off staff members from a department specializing in social justice initiatives, a department that has been at the center of controversy over the years. Among those laid off were staff members at the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, a national anti-poverty program of the bishops. Now, over the years, the program has generated some controversy and some criticism. Beginning back in 2008, the program was faulted by activists and some Catholic bishops for funding organizations that have taken positions contrary to church teaching, such as on abortion and same-sex marriage. Back in 2010, the USCCB instituting new controls to help ensure that grantees conform with Catholic teaching. In other news this morning, speaking of the debate tonight, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, there's a new poll that was released yesterday, and this, of course, before the presidential debate this evening, saying that former President Donald Trump, as Jonathan O'Halloran explains, has now taken the lead over President Biden nationally.
With all eyes on the first debate, a new Quinnipiac poll says 73% of voters will likely watch the debate, and 16% say each candidate's performance in that debate could lead to them changing their vote. The poll also finds former President Trump now leads President Biden 49-45% head-to-head, that after Trump trailed by 1% back on May 22nd. In a six-way race that includes RFK Jr., the poll finds Trump's lead increases to 6 percentage points, beating Biden 43-37%.
All the polling shows that a surge in illegal immigration is a top issue for voters in the election in November. So the Texas border, the experts say, will likely be a huge topic in the debate tonight.
Trump will focus on it, and Biden will try to argue that recent moves he's made to tighten up the border have been effective.
That's SMU political analyst Cal Gilson, who says former President Trump will likely focus on crime committed by illegal immigrants. This week, two men from Venezuela were in court for the murder of a 12-year-old Texas girl. They were both given $10 million bonds. And the feds are charging five people with trying to bribe jurors in a Minnesota pandemic fraud case. Here's U.S. Attorney Andrew Luger.
As alleged in the indictment and other documents, these defendants engaged in a chilling attack on our justice system.
This after seven people were found guilty last month of trying to steal about $250 million from government nutrition programs meant for children during COVID. Luger says five of those already found guilty had previously offered a juror nearly $120,000 in cash in exchange for voting to acquit on the eve of deliberations. Those five now face new charges connected to the alleged bribe. The suspect accused of yelling for Zionists on a New York City subway train earlier this month is now turning himself in. Police have been looking for the Staten Island resident after he yelled on a crowded train at the Union Square station back on June 10th.
Raise your hands if you're a Zionist!
Raise your hands if you're a Zionist!
This is your chance to get out!
This is your chance to get out!
Officials say Anas Salah surrendered with his attorney at the New York Police Department Transit Bureau, receiving a desk appearance ticket for coercion. When he walked out, some of his supporters tried to block the media from filming him. Both Mayor Adams and the governor have said threatening and anti-Semitic language is not free speech. Northwest Iowa floodwaters are starting to recede. Residents are left, though, with a muddy mess. And a lot of people there say they are grateful to DNR officers who arrived in boats in various towns to rescue them as the waters rose very rapidly.
The DNR officers, they probably were in the 250 range with between Rock Valley, Haywarden, and Spencer, and Correctionville.
Greg Harson is a DNR law enforcement supervisor in the area in northwest Iowa, greatly affected by the floods. And despite improving financial conditions, Aaron Mural tells us households remain very sour on the overall economy. They say that means welcome to vibe session.
Vibe session is the term being used to characterize the disconnect between the economy's overall strength and its perceived weakness among consumers. According to TransUnion, concerns about inflation and interest rates are now at a two-year high. The consumer price index increased 3.3% in May relative to a year earlier. Prices are still rising. They're just growing at a slower pace than they have been. Higher inflation, coupled with the Federal Reserve's 11 rate hikes since 2022, have hit working-class Americans particularly hard.
The IRS says some taxpayers are receiving a notice of non-payment, even though they paid their 2023 federal income tax. Chief Tax Information Officer for Jackson Hewitt, Mark Stieber, says it happens.
The IRS can be wrong. There can be a partial mistake. Maybe the tax is owed, but perhaps not the penalties or the interest.
The notices are getting mailed to taxpayers right now. And if you think the notice is incorrect, he says, don't send a check right away. Instead, immediately contact the IRS or a tax professional about the issue. He also warns to be on the lookout for scammers sending out fake notices. He adds that sure telltale signs would involve email messages to send money right away or the wrong IRS national phone number. He adds that the IRS initially always sends traditional letters, so scammers might try that route as well. Natalie Miglioli tells us that New York City public schools could soon be prohibiting students from having cell phones during the day.
Public schools chancellor David Banks says phones are not just a distraction, but a full-on addiction. Some New Yorkers not sure a ban will work.
That's not going to help. If they're addicted to the phone, they're addicted to the phone. Banning it is not going to help. They'll find a way.
I don't know if that's possible. It's terrible. A lot of times the kids have a phone at a young age.
It comes as New York State considers a statewide ban on phones, and just a week after Los Angeles voted to ban students from using cell phones and social media during school hours. It's not the first time the city would ban phones in schools. A ban first implemented by Mayor Mike Bloomberg was reversed under Mayor Bill de Blasio.
No worries. That's what scientists are saying about two giant asteroids that are hurling toward planet Earth. The European Space Agency says an asteroid over a mile wide will be zipping by the Earth this afternoon at a relatively close 4 million miles away. But they say it poses no threat. But they also say it's the closest flyby on record of an asteroid that size. On Saturday, another huge asteroid will be zipping by our planet. The recently discovered asteroid is a lot smaller at about 800 feet wide, but will come a lot closer at around 180,000 miles from Earth. Scientists say there is no risk, though, of hitting us, but at the same time, if it did, it would cause some pretty big damage. And loneliness could impact your risk of having a stroke. A new study shows that older adults who reported being chronically lonely had a 56% higher stroke risk than those who rated their loneliness very low. The lead study author at Harvard noting the importance of assessing loneliness and said consequences may be worse if ignored. And giant pandas are on their way to San Diego from China. These visitors at the San Diego Zoo expressing their excitement to have the pandas returning.
Wow, they're coming back. This is great.
I think it's awesome. More pandas in the U.S. is great.
I am so beside myself excited that they're going to be coming back soon. It'll be a really great addition to the zoo.
Now, once the pandas safely arrive in San Diego in the near future, it will take time for them to acclimate to their new home before there's a public debut. It's taken months, though, to reach this point after relations failed between the two countries. All giant pandas had to leave the U.S. and return to their native China, but now new contracts and nurtured relationships apparently are in place. And finally, in our news segment, Brian Shook tells us that the FDA is recalling a lot of ice cream products over possible listeria contamination.
The recall covers 68 products across 13 brands, including Jenny's, Hershey's Ice Cream, and Dolcezza Gelato. The FDA said the products could be contaminated and cause severe and sometimes fatal infections. There have been reports of illnesses related to the recalled ice cream products.
It is a Thursday, June 27, 2024, almost 14 minutes past the hour. As I said, we're not out of the woods yet in terms of lots of rain. The National Weather Service is telling us severe thunderstorms capable of very large hail and damaging wind gusts around 80 miles per hour are forecast for portions of the central and northern plains, and that will continue today into the nighttime hours. They also say locally heavy rainfall may result in isolated instances of flash flooding and monsoon-like conditions persisting in the Four Corners region, where additional flooding is possible through this evening. Up next, the one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN with our cultural connections wants to talk a little bit about elections, especially local elections and crime. We'll also get his take on the debate for this evening. Thanks for tuning in to EWTN. We'll be right back on a Thursday.
He is honored by the church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. 16 minutes past the hour. Always an honor to speak with our good friend, Father Mitch Pacwa, theologian, author, scripture scholar, and of course, EWTN host, EWTN Live, every Wednesday evening. And I had the honor and the privilege of being with Father last night via Skype, along with Dr. Ray Grundy, who was on the phone, and our VP and General Manager, Mike Jones, from Ave Maria Radio, our very own Doug Keck, our Chief Operating Officer, and of course, our program head, Tom Price, who were all in studio with Father Mitch. Father Mitch, thanks for allowing me to be on. That was really very meaningful, moving, I think, not just for those of us who took part, but I think for the audience as well.
Yeah, well, it was such a delight to be with, you know, all the people that were on, you and Doug and every buddy, Mike. I don't know Mike as well, Mike Jones, your CEO,
right,
as well, but it was great to spend some time with him and to do the show about someone as truly wonderful as, you know, Al Cresta. Al is just one of those truly great pioneers, you know, in our media. So it was a delight for me.
I thought it was beautifully done in terms of a lot of the B-roll that they had, as we say in the business, mm-hmm. The pictures of Al in the studio and pictures of various staff members and some video of him on the journey home, mm-hmm. and that you played. And I just thought it was beautiful. So thank you for doing that. And it's something I think that all of us can go back and watch. So we can find it where, Father, to go back and watch the rerun?
Yeah, if you go to our website, EWTN.com, you can go there and find the archive program. And anybody can download for free the EWTN app. It's a free app. Access to all the programming is free. And you'll see the options for live TV. You can watch EWTN live on your phone. Live radio, you can listen to EWTN when you're driving. Don't watch TV while you're driving.
Good advice.
And then you can also see the archived programs on there. And that is also worth being able to do.
All right, great. So I know this morning you wanted to talk about the elections, but you're very concerned with the crime that we're seeing in the country. So what would you like to focus on today, Father, with that?
Well, there are a number of things here with the crime issue. You know, I myself have been shot at. It's a very unpleasant experience. Mm. I don't recommend it to anybody. Mugged, you know, a couple times, knife point and such. And I've also had friends and relatives who were killed. You know, I'm no stranger to the crime. And I have a very strong sense of how wicked this is. The criminals who did that, they have a couple who allegedly have committed the rape and murder, molesting a 12-year-old girl for 2 hours and then killing her. This is outrageous. And that they would even think that she's fair game is something outrageous, or that they look upon any female, girl or woman, as fair game. And this is going on all over the country because, I heard on one news report that crime has gone down in Venezuela because they've been letting their criminals come to our border where there is not this kind of checking on individuals. And you add to the problem that, among the many things that Mr. George Soros has done with the $32 billion that he has donated to his free society organization, among them are 75 district attorneys who have been put into office and are being, I watched Mr. Gascon in Los Angeles, DA over there, say that, look, it doesn't, we've tried arresting and putting in jail and it doesn't work. Let's try something new, such as letting them out. Well, that hasn't helped the situation. And it came precisely at a time when thugs from the Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all, whatever their chains are, these folks went and attacked the police, both ideologically and sometimes physically, after the George Floyd riots, where more black people were killed than George than George Floyd. I mean, this led to horrible deaths and destruction of property for African Americans, supposedly in their name. This was nuts. Nuts. And people then voted in DAs, mostly by party line, without paying attention to the policies. And these 75 DAs are scattered throughout the country, and it is a cheap way to use money to get candidates in that will change the social structure of the nation. Now, what is the antidote? The antidote has to be citizens paying close attention to local elections. Typically, all of our attention is on things like tonight, and it's an important event tonight of a presidential debate. That is an important situation. We should pay close attention to it. 55% of people polled say this is going to have a big, extremely important impact on how they vote. 45% have their minds made up. 55% are looking at the candidates debate each other tonight. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I think, as important as that is, also we must pay close attention to the candidates for judgeships, for district attorneys, city councils, education boards. These are where folks are changing the culture one way or the other. And those are probably the most important changes.
Well, Father, now, people get their way into the government this way. I mean, I've always said it, you know, it's really important to see who's running for dog catcher in your community, because once they get office and they move into different areas, and especially, you know, what's happened in the education system with school boards and whatnot. But you mentioned that people have to pay attention, and this is what drives me nuts. They don't pay attention. I'm not necessarily talking about our audience, because they're listening to Catholic radio. They have a vested interest in what goes on with laws, especially when it comes to church teaching and the life issues. But we don't have enough people paying attention and doing their homework in these elections.
And here's something I want to suggest about that we've been doing here in Birmingham. A very close friend of mine, Bishop James Lowe, he's pastor of a large congregation here in Irondale.
Father, hold that thought, because I want to make sure you get that full information about the pastor in, and we're coming up against a satellite break. Sorry about that. 25 minutes past the hour, almost 26 minutes past the hour. Continue our discussion on the importance, especially of local elections. And it's our Catholic duty. The church is very clear that we have to be educated voters and make sure we are involved. More with Father Mitch Pacwa when we come back.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
Some great people have shown respect for God. Can I read you a little quotation from Albert Einstein, who many times showed a great respect for religion and was one of the great admirers of Pope Pius XII for his stand against the Holocaust during the Second World War. Einstein wrote, "The fairest thing we can experience is the mysterious, is the fundamental emotion that stands at the cradle of all true art and science. A knowledge of the existence of something we can't penetrate, of the manifestations of the profoundest reason and the most radiant beauty, which are only accessible to our minds in the most elementary form. It is this knowledge and this emotion that constitute the truly religious attitude." Oh my, so beautifully said.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Catholic family life is a liturgy. Liturgy is a word that means a public act of worship. And for Catholics, liturgy is an act of worship established by God and intended to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships with Him and each other. For instance, the liturgy of the Eucharist is God's way of restoring communion with Him and making communion with others possible. Well, when we bring that Eucharistic grace home by looking for little ways we can share Christ's sacrificial love with our family each day, we celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, the liturgy that helps God heal the damage sin tries to do in our homes, at the very root of human relationships. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Don't forget to tune in later on today to Open Line, Thursday Open Line with Father Brian Milady. And of course, you'll hear it on EWTN Radio. You also hear, of course, Father Mitch Pacwa and see him on TV. And you hear him every Thursday with Cultural Connections. Okay, Father, before we were somewhat rudely interrupted by the satellite break, as we say in broadcasting, you were talking about something happening.
Kids. Listen.
They don't listen.
So satellites are meant to be seen and not heard.
Absolutely. So the person you were talking about in your local community of Birmingham, you mentioned the pastor that you wanted to talk about in terms of activities.
Through one of the mutual friends here in Birmingham, in Irondale, he and I met a few years ago, and along with a number of other pastors, and one of the interesting things about Pastor Bishop Lowe is that he is one of the survivors of the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church by the Ku Klux Klan back in the early 60s. And what he and other pastors and I did is get together, and at one of we used his church because it was so large, but we had fora in which we invited the candidates for the judgeships to come and meet. Others organized meetings with the district attorney. We organized pastors' Skype phone calls to discuss with the DA what his policies are, mm-hmm. and posted that so that people could see it. And the reason I mention these things, and we also go to, he and I both sit next to each other at the city council meeting. We don't say a whole lot, but we're there to talk about, to listen to what's going on, and, let everybody get heard. It's not so much partisan, it's just often personalities. We want people to be heard and understood and participate in the city council. These are the kinds of things that I would invite lay people in your audience to get together with their pastors, whether they're Catholic priests, ministers, rabbis, or imams, or other religious leaders, to organize fora. There are going to be times when the candidates meet, and we found that it was the parties would have their dinners, and it turns out that some of these guys were pocketing money. They were making the candidates pay to come to a dinner, and then they would highlight them, or else you get nothing. As a Chicagoan, it sounded, well, politics as usual. When we offered to have a forum for the judges, and they didn't have to pay anything, they just got to present for a few minutes why I should be the judge. And we had both parties, that didn't matter. Just invite people to come and say, these are my qualifications as a lawyer. These are my values. We asked the question, is your pastor or rabbi's or imam's phone number in your phone index, where you can just do a fast call? How often do you go to church or synagogue? Mm-hmm. What impact does religion have on you? We asked those questions, and they were happy to answer them, mm-hmm. and to see what their values are. And if it's a family court, what is your attitude towards family? How are you going to protect spouses or children who are being abused? How do you decide where children go in child custody cases? All those things should be asked of these people, because you and I are much more likely to come before a judge than we are before the president or the governor.
Mm-hmm. Very good point.
And the DA. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that can be either as a defendant or someone who's a plaintiff. So you should know that's the reality. The sheriff, what is his value? What are his values? Or her values? Find out what the sheriff is up to. These are very important issues.
Absolutely.
And so that sort of thing. Now, I'd just like to say something about tonight.
Okay.
Folks on the different political sides are going to look for President Biden to have, a mental freeze or a stumble. They're going to look for Trump to blow his top and show temper and be rude. And this is what they're going to look to for winning points on either side. I would propose that we pay attention to what they're going to do to protect the border, to take care of the economy, to deal with international issues, since there's so much tension right now that wars are more feasible. And what are they going to do in terms of international trade? These are the issues that are more important than President Biden's forgetfulness or President Trump's temper. pay attention to that. Secondly, we have to pay close attention. I don't like it that CNN is doing
this. I was just going
to
say that. I don't trust them.
Well, you know, Jake Tapper has called former President Trump Hitler, and when he lost the election, he said the nightmare is over. He considers mm-hmm. him a nightmare and Hitler. I would have preferred that they got perhaps BBC America or Reuters or something. I mean, everybody has their, you know, attitude and things, but I would look for someone who isn't calling one of the candidates Hitler.
Right.
I wouldn't, just like I would not, I'd be absolutely opposed to someone like Sean Hannity,
right.
You know, being the debate host. That would be wrong. You know, he's a strongly opinionated man, and which is fine, but not for hosting it. I've been.
But so is Jake Tapper, as you just said, the name calling and everything else. And just the other day, there's a clip out there that shows, I think this is over the weekend, one of the PR people from the Trump campaign was on with CNN, a female host, and she started mm-hmm. to talk about some of the statements that Tapper has made against Trump, as you just said.
And they cut her off.
No, we're not going to talk about that. You're not going to attack my colleagues. So there's no conversation about the reality of the situation. I agree with you about Sean Hannity, but I also agree that I don't think Tapper is the right person for the job either.
I don't want either one of those kind of people who have antagonism, such strongly voiced antagonism toward one of the candidates to host it. That's not a debate. I've been in religious debates where the moderator took sides of my opponent and ended up speaking more than my opponent or than I spoke.
So we have to look for the reality of the facts, and that's important. I don't know if we're going to see that tonight, though, because of who's hosting it, as you so wisely said. Father, thank you so much for all you do and your great programming on radio and TV, and again for the invitation last night to be on your program to talk about Al Cresta. More Catholic Connection coming your way on a Thursday. Stay tuned.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When's the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's the definition of frustration? Frustration is the difference between the way it is and the way you want it to be. It's hard to change the way it is. The way it is sometimes is other people, life, circumstances. The way you want it to be is in your power to change. You can close the gap between reality and what you want. The smaller that gap, the less your frustration. It is always easier to change oneself than to change reality. Frustration isn't always what happens out there. It is how we look at what happens out there.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's looking back at you at age 22? What do you hope to say about that child at age 22? If you're content to say, well, the way kids are turning out nowadays, counting my blessings. Parole officer says one of the nicest children he has. Or would you rather say he's 1 in 100? Morals, compassion, seeks God. Are you prepared to be a 1 in 100 parent then? You can't parent
like the bulk of parents anymore. You will supervise far higher. You will screen out toxic media sewage at a rate unlike all of your friends, perhaps your family. No guarantees as to what will be looking back at you at age 22. But you want to be able to say, I think he's 1 in 100. Then you be a 1 in 100 parent.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the 7 letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, like more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Past the hour. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. On a Thursday, we are doing our best to get a hold of Rebecca Weigel, producer and writer of Sound of Hope, but she's not answering her phone. It happens sometimes. It's live radio. And as we say in the biz, you need to punt and be able to move forward. So speaking of movies, I was telling my listeners in the first hour of the program, whenever I fly, that's the only time I get to see movies, because rarely, unless it's a specific, for example, Christian film that I want to go see, because there's not that much good out there in the movies. Really, do I get to watch movies or interested in going to see them? Of course, I love the film Cabrini that came out, of course, earlier this year in March. But over the 10 hours back home from Italy, there were several different movies that I was able to watch. And one of them I truly enjoyed. Well, several of them were pretty good. But this one just struck me because I thought it was such an uplifting story. I don't know if you've came out in February, actually. I couldn't believe it. That was so old. I mean, in terms of movies, it came out several months ago. But it's called Ordinary Angels, and I don't know if you heard about it. It's based on a true story about a woman in Kentucky who heard the story of a young girl who was struggling and was dying of a liver disease, and she decided after reading the story in the newspaper that she was going to go out on a mission to raise awareness and help with the family bills, to try to get attention because they had huge hospital bills, several hundred thousand dollars. But it's just a really, really great film. So we do have Rebecca on the phone, but in terms of talking about films, in addition to the one we're going to talk about right now, I would highly recommend, because it's out there available, I would highly recommend Ordinary Angels, starring Hilary Swank. It's a true story, and it's based on a story out of Kentucky that happened in the 90s about a young girl and the efforts to raise money for her liver transplant. And it's not overly religious, but it is put out by the same folks who gave us The Jesus Revolution, which was an excellent movie. And it does have a lot of Christian themes to it. And what I loved is it showed, and again, we're talking about the film Ordinary Angels that came out in February. What I loved, it showed what can happen when you step out of your comfort zone and make a difference and make that effort to help someone else and how that helps you in the end. All right, that's one film. The film that we're talking about right now, we did get Rebecca on the phone. Thank goodness. Rebecca is a producer of the movie Sound of Hope. Hey, Rebecca, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, so good to be on. Thank you for having me on.
Sorry, I didn't know if you were going to be there, so I started talking about another film that I just saw on the plane on the way back from Italy, Ordinary Angels, which was really a great film. But let's talk about your movie, Sound of Hope,
yes.
The Story of Possum Trot.
Yes. Yeah, we're excited. It's coming to theaters July 4th through Angel Studios. It's going to be a nationwide release. And the story of a small church that made an extraordinary difference in the lives of a lot of vulnerable children. And they stepped in as a community, and 22 families adopted 77 of some of the hardest to place children in the Texas child welfare system.
How did you find out about this particular story? What motivated you to get involved?
Well, my husband and I adopted two of our kids back in 2013, and that really just started to break our heart for the issue, and I started working with different churches across the city to get them more involved, and I was doing a pastor's event I needed a really powerful speaker, and I came across this story, and I was like, wow, this is really the way forward. Like, this is what churches should be doing. And I called Bishop Martin, and he brought him out to Los Angeles. He spoke to all the pastors and just moved the needle in Los Angeles. And I just saw the power of this story to make changes and to inspire churches to get involved. And so, you know, and people, all kinds of people are getting involved as a result of the story.
Well, give us some background in terms of when this happened and just how the whole community got involved.
Yeah, so it started in 1998. First Lady Donna Martin, the pastor's wife, after her mother passed away, the Lord spoke to her and told her that she should start giving back and caring for vulnerable kids. And so she convinced her husband to get involved, and the whole church got involved, and they got the community involved. And the thing I love about it is that they did it as a community. And those of us that are in the trenches with kids and have fostered and adopted, I think we all are longing for the church to really be the church and to wrap around and support families. And, you know, we can do hard things if we do it together. And so it really shows the power of community and shows what one little church can do. So imagine if all the churches stepped up and got involved in really meaningful ways in caring for kids in our local communities.
So when does the movie come out? How can we see it? Where is it playing?
It comes out July 4th. Actually, there's some screenings on July 3rd. So opening weekend is the 4th of July weekend. And it's, you know, coming in 2,200 screens, I think. So it's over 2,000 screens. And it's a follow-up to Sound of Freedom. Angel Studios is, you know, Sound of Freedom showed that there was a problem and that there's kids that need our help. And Sound of Hope shows the solution, that churches are the answer to this crisis.
It sounds like, obviously I haven't seen it yet because it hasn't come out, but it sounds like it's a very faith-filled film without being overly religious, but also a pro-life film. Because if we're really pro-life, we're pro-life from womb to tomb, and we want to work with families and work with children and make sure they're being treated properly and have what they need.
Absolutely. I think this is an incredible opportunity for the church to show the world how pro-life we really are, that we care about kids from conception all the way to when they age out of the foster system, that, you know, the kids that the world says are not wanted or that others are not willing to, you know, take in, the church has got open arms, and we see these kids as a gift. We see what they can become. And I think there's so many kids locked in the foster system right now. There's 100,000 children waiting to be adopted whose rights have been terminated, and they just need a loving home. And home is, you know, family is where these kids will find healing in the context of healthy families and churches.
Now, how did you get interested in film and doing something like this? And what do you hope will be the result of the movie, Rebecca?
Well, my husband is, you know, we moved to Hollywood in 1998, and he's always had the goal to make films that change the world. So we wrote, produced, and he directed the film. And I, you know, my goals were psychology and counseling,
right,
for a number of years. And then our two gifts kind of came together, and we work together now. And we really just see the power of media. I mean, it's shaping culture. It's shaping the world. There's so much power in story. Jesus told stories is how he communicated, and we want to tell stories that impact culture. And this is an important issue that we believe the church is called to be the solution to. And our hope is that this movie ignites the movement to end the foster crisis in America. That's really our goal, and we think it's possible.
How wide of a showing will it be? Do you have a number of theaters, or what are you looking at when it opens on July 4th?
Yeah, it's going to be a wide release, so, you know, over 2,000 screens. So you can check your local, you know, to see if it's playing in your area, angel.com/hope, or Google Sound of Hope, you know, the story of Possum Trot, and it should be in a theater near you. And if it's not, you can call your local theater and request it. And if they get enough requests, they'll bring it to your area.
You know, I love what you say about telling stories, because this is a way really to preach the gospel always and use words when necessary, which is often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. But using the media and using the culture positively, which is so crucial, and telling these personal stories. I was talking before you came on, and we were working on getting you on the phone about another great movie that I saw on the plane. And it was similar in the sense that it was a real story. It was a true story about someone stepping in and being willing to make a difference. This is just a local hairdresser in Kentucky who saw a need of a little girl whose family needed money for a liver transplant for her, and the whole town rallied around her. So these kinds of stories are a great way, I think, and I'd love your take on this, Rebecca, to share the Christian message in a way where to which everyone can relate. I mean, I'm not saying that we don't need overtly Christian movies like The Passion of the Christ or other films, but at the same time, people can relate to these messages, and it gets them to think differently and hopefully think differently about faith.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Ordinary Angels was a beautiful movie. I think films, you know, and filmmakers, the cream is rising to the top, and I think, you know, our films that are dealing with films about faith are getting better and better. This particular movie, Sound of Hope, is not, you know, it's the story is about a pastor in a church, but people that don't identify as being Christians or having faith are walking out in tears saying, I'd go to church if church was like that. Mm. And, you know, I don't think, you know, personally, I think Hollywood's movies are becoming more preachy and overt and over the top with their messages. And I think that the films that are dealing with faith that are being made, like Ordinary Angels and Sound of Hope and others, are getting better and better. And, you know, our hope is that it reaches a broad audience, impacts lives, and in early screenings, that's what's happening. I mean, people are being very moved by this film and impacted. So we're excited to see what happens and hope that this ignites the movement.
Would you like to see churches taking groups to this film?
Absolutely. I personally think every church in America should go on opening weekend. I mean, we created this as a tool. It's been a labor of love for the last 8 years, and created this as a tool to really move hearts to care for children. And that is the call of the church. I mean, James 1:27 says true religion is to care for the orphans and the widows in their distress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're clearly called to defend the fatherless, fight for the orphan and the widow. And, so what better way? I mean, this election season is going to be so polarizing and everyone's fighting. I think we can come together and all agree that we should be caring for vulnerable children.
Yeah, that's a great point. Rebecca, thanks so much. Appreciate it. So again, how do we find out more information about seeing the film? Oh, Rebecca, are you there? Oh, I think we lost her.
Sorry.
Well, I'll go ahead.
Here.
Go ahead.
I'll go ahead. angel.com/hope. You can get tickets. And, yeah, we'd love for you to just go out on opening weekend, support films, have positive messages so that we can see more films like this come to theaters.
That's great. Thank you so much for this. A beautiful story. Talking with Rebecca Weigel, producer and writer of the film Sound of Hope, the story of Possum Trot. And again, more information at the angel.com studios website. Almost 53 minutes past the hour. Thanks for tuning into Catholic Connection on a Thursday. And we'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Friday morning tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Can a church made up of sinners still be holy? St. Teresa, the Little Flower, says this about the Catholic Church. If the church was a body composed of different members, it could not lack the noblest of all. It must have a heart, and a heart burning with love. And I realized that this love alone was the true motive force which ennobled the other members of the church to act. If it ceased to function, the apostles would forget to preach the gospel. The martyrs would refuse to shed their blood. Love, in fact, is the vocation which includes all others. It is a universe of its own, comprising all time and space. It is eternal. The Catholic Catechism tells us that our divine Lord, who knew nothing of sin, came only to expiate sin. So the Church embraces sinners in order to save them. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection on Thursday. Thanks so much to our guests, Rebecca Weigel, and, of course, the one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa. Tomorrow is Friday, and on Fridays we interview our CEO and, of course, our COO, excuse me, Doug Keck, and our Vice President. President, what am I doing here this morning? Sorry, Doug. You know what I'm thinking of? Because we had Mike Jones on the program, who is a CEO and VP, and we had all these different people on yesterday last night on Father Mitch Pacwa's program. So my titles are getting all messed up. My apologies. So Doug Keck is the Chief Operating Officer and President of EWTN, who'll be joining us tomorrow, as he does every Friday, with our Inside Word, taking a look at what's coming up for wonderful programming. And then we're also going to take a look at the book Behold, Believe, and Become, Meeting the Hidden Christ in Things We See, Say, and Do at Mass. I love this book. It's only about 100 pages long, but it is awesome in terms of understanding more deeply all the different things in the Mass and why they mean so much. That matter matters. Amen to that. We'll talk to you on a Friday with Doug Keck, President and Chief Operating Officer. There you go.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.